assignment by the board. There's nothing in the bill right now that's flat out says that they can't be sold or leased. So I think that that's, we all presume that that was the intent, that it's not specifically stated in the bill. So I think that it would be appropriate to amend the bill in that regard. It might also be appropriate to amend the bill to deal with the transition between the time that the bill is passed until the areas are formed and they're actually assigned. There could be an argument that during that interim period there could be no guiding at all in that, those areas of the state. And I think that we should cover that to allow continued guiding under the current scheme until the areas are actually assigned. So I think that that should also be dealt with in the amendment to the bill.
Representative Barr.
Yeah, and I suspect the courts would allow us to get away with that too, right? We just left it on the same or the way it's going now until the area is set up, that wouldn't be a problem.
Wouldn't be a problem, no.
Yeah. And Mr. Chairman, I think that Steve's going to be particularly important as a liaison to the Judiciary Committee, which comes next for the bill, and they're going to have some tough questions, I think, on the constitutionality of it. So.
Thank you very much.
You're welcome.
Yes. Yeah, do we have a representative from?
Yeah,
we'll take some time. Okay, Randall, do you have any comments at this time?
Just no.
Questions? Okay, yeah. Reed, who's going to be the representative or the spokesman from the Air Carriers Group?
John Hadukovich from CareMax.
John, would you come forward, please? Is that little button flip forward there?
It's forward, yes.
Yes, okay, yeah, go ahead, please.
Mr. Chairman, thank you for the opportunity again to testify concerning this matter. We have some very serious difficulties as air carriers. It seems to me that if we are truly intent on managing the game, rather than have the carriers manage the game, or the transporters, whatever you want to call us, originally there were three players. You had the guides, you had outfitters that called themselves outfitters, and you had commercial operators. And the commercial operator being the air taxi or air carrier. The original impetus was to nail the outfitter that was out there advertising big game hunts and what have you, and out there not as a commercial operator, not as a guide, but taking a great deal of the game. There's a recent impetus towards the several air taxi operators have been mentioned in previous testimony as maybe being abusers of the system and taking the game. They're advertising game hunts, whatever they want to call it. There's abusers in every system. There are abusers within the guides themselves, really in violation of a lot of the rules and regulations there. But I'm wondering if we're here to conserve the game. If we are, go by strictly a permit system. We're only going to allow 50 animals to be taken out of game management unit, 26 or whatever. The guides don't want that. But yet the state, somebody seems to want to regulate the carriers. We compromised a great deal last year in Senate Bill 191 and agreed to a lot more than what we wanted to agree to, but we felt like we compromised. At this point, the transporter is a marked individual in that he's got to have the ugliest foot-by-foot decal designed by the Alaska Department of Fish and Game to slap on the side of a $200,000 to $300,000 airplane. None of the guides have to put that decal on their airplanes. Our people are calling daily and saying, I'm not putting that decal on our airplane, John. It's going to hurt the resale. I can't take it off. It's ridiculous. Do they want me to fly around in a left-hand pattern when we leave so that whoever's observing us can say, oh, yeah, there's a transporter up there. Well, what do the guides do? Do they do the same left-hand pattern when they leave? We're not getting to the meat of it. The decals are a big thing that the carriers don't like. Incidental, Senator Fakes accused us of hiding behind the word incidental. We never came up with the word incidental. The guides have used the word incidental for years and years and say their flying is only incidental to their work. But nobody to date, and I don't think Randall to date, has come up with a definition of incidental.
We're close,
but I mean the legislation will all be passed and we're going to say, oh, by the way, incidental means this, this, and this, and it's too late to go back and say, hey, we want to change all your legislation. The word incidentally, if we're going to use the word, let's define it. The outfitters that were out there doing, they say, hey, our flying is incidental, and we only get our money by taking the guy out and doing the hunting or taking the big game. When we say advertising, I advertise hunting, fishing, trekking, backpacking, scenic flights. We advertise everything. Now, if I were to say advertise as Frontier individual and say, we're providing big game hunts, come after me, make me be a transporter, whatever. I'm out there to try and use that game resource management. I want the game out there and I'm going to make money off of it. I'd like to still think that we make our money, what we do think we make, off of our flying. We take you from A to B, wherever you want to go. If it's safe for me to take you there, I want to take you there because I'm going to charge you for that. I'm not in the business, and most of the carriers, and I'd say 202 registered air taxi air carriers in the state of Alaska, as of yesterday or day before, there isn't three or four maybe abusers in that whole bunch. I don't think the guides can say that from their side. And the air carriers are not hiding behind the word incidental. It's not our choice of word. We want a definition of incidental. We may want to hide behind something like that, but we have to have it defined. We've asked for it continually. We're not getting it. Randall says he's close, but so is this legislation getting close to going somewhere. We don't make our money off the dead animals. We make our money off the flying. And if we're going to collect a fee, we find it very objectionable to the carriers to collect the fee. If we need a fee, if the Department of Fish and Game wants a fee on the animals, then put a fee on the animals. When you go register to get your license and get a tag, say you're going to have an additional $25 fee to hunt in this area and collect it at that time. And if you're unsuccessful, bring your tag back and maybe we'll refund it. We've got so many regulations and are so regulated in our industry, we can't comply with this. We're going to be in violation of it. You've got some pretty stiff fines out there, up to $100,000 to come after carriers. They're not going to be that knowledgeable. I can't, with 12 pilots, I can't educate. I'm having a hard enough time working with them to keep them flying the airplane safely. If I have to worry about the game out there, then I'm going to have a bigger problem. Jan's saying we're here to support, Senator Fakes is saying we're here to support the legislation. We would support portions of the legislation, but we're not here to support the legislation that is being presented here. We'd like some definitions as to what incidental is. We don't go along with the collection of the fees. We didn't go along with it last year. We don't go along with it this year. We cannot manage the game for the state of Alaska. Brief comment on Henry Springer and the task force. I think he did a wonderful job, but he quit the task force and we're still here and we're going to have to be the ones that have to comply with all the regulations that are being compiled by us. We felt the legislation was good. We feel like it's being somewhat trying to be changed through regulation, both Senate Bill 191 and stuff is sneaking back into this bill. I don't know how many times. I'd like to see this thing put away once and for all, and I'm sure you people would. I don't envy your jobs at all. I would never be a politician to come to Juneau. I couldn't stand it because you do. It's so tough to get it done. You're being pushed and pulled in the hall. We get you. The guides get you. The outfitters get you. The State Department of Fish and Game get you. The National Park Service gets you. Good luck.
Just on that point, I have my staff every morning pull from one side to the other so I get in the thing and I get ready.
If the bill does pass as being presented here, maybe we should consider removing some of the funding from Alaska Department of Fish and Game if we as carriers are going to do the reporting out there. There's very few carriers. Out of the 202 carriers, there aren't 10 carriers that are getting any portion of their income from the big game out there in the field. You come into Frontier or one of the other air taxi operations, you say you want to charter a plane to, you're dressed just like we are right now. You want to charter a plane from Fairbanks to Goldstream, or to Goldfield. Well, I can probably guess that you're going out there hunting, even though you're dressed in your suit. I'm not going to say, well, what are you going out there for? It's really none of my business. If it's safe for me to fly you there, I'll fly you there. If you come in and say, today, well, where can I get a good moose? I'm looking for a record moose. I want to go. I'm not going to tell you. I've learned that a long time ago, and a lot of the other operators have learned that, because you don't want to pay for the charter at that point when you come back. And besides that, I want that big moose for myself. I've been flying by it for 3 weeks, and I'm going to go in there and get it. We go into the guide's areas, and you really feel unwelcome a lot of the times. As a resident of this state for 52 years, I don't want to feel unwelcome anywhere. If I want to go in and hunt either as an individual, if I'm out there abusing the game and I'm hauling 50 hunters into a guide's area or any given area, then do something about it. You know, you have to regulate me or do something about me. But if I'm going out there conducting the course of my business and take hunters into your area, there's not much you can do about it. And shouldn't be allowed to do anything about it. Do the residents have priority or the non-residents in the state of Alaska? It seems like I'm better off to be a non-resident of this state. I want to have their priority as a resident. And I want my kids to have the same.
On this point, Co-Chair Davidson has a question. And with that, John, did you state your name and who you're representing for the record?
I'm John Hajdukovic, President of the Alaska Air Carriers Association, Fairbanks.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Mr. Hajdukovic, on the point that you make is, you know, everybody has their job to do, and we know that any kind of enforcement, especially in our state, whether it's fish and game or name the enforcement objective, it's a big task. So do you see any part for individuals such as yourself or anyone in this room to play as far as assisting overall in the enforcement task, since we are all indeed Alaskans as well as many other things?
Well, I don't think the carriers object to that at all in the enforcement end of it. I mean, we're more than willing to go out there if we're picking up a charter that we have out on the lake. And he's got this tremendous rack, and he says, "That's all I've got. Where's the meat?" Well, we ate the meat. You ate 750 pounds of meat. You know the meat's laying out there or rotted somewhere. We don't mind having the obligation to call him Fish and Game and say, "Hey, we've got a problem with a client of ours, or a customer coming in." I hate the word client. That's for doctors and lawyers. Air carriers have customers. And we don't object to doing something like that. As a resident of the state and as a company, I don't have any problems with that. I'd just soon they throw you in jail for it. You probably got a better chance of going to jail for that than you do of manslaughter.
Well, if you have customers and doctors and lawyers have clients, so what are we supposed to have?
I don't know, depends on what's incidental to your work.
Representative Navar.
Yeah. Mr. Hajdukovic, I guess hopeful that, and I think that given who we have representing it down here, we'll see some recommendations from the air carriers with regard to the bill, and specifically maybe some options that, you know, maybe charging $25 at the time the license is issued and allowing for a refund is a good idea. I mean, it's something that will work. I mean, it's worth looking at. So we'll take whatever suggestions you want to offer into consideration. You know, the Senate Bill 191 and the compromises that were made or weren't made, you know, I've been working on this legislation for this issue for longer than I had ever planned. And it was kind of a temporary interim thing until we could really come back and try to solve the problem because the Osaycheck decision. So it was, you know, it wasn't the final bill in settling this thing, and I think most people recognize that.
We were in agreement at one time with the guys out there, and we felt like we made a compromise. We gave up a lot more than what the members wanted to give up. The members originally started out and said, "Okay, you want to get into commercial transportation? Join the club. Go get a Part 135, meet the insurance requirements, the annual inspections, all of that." Nobody wanted that, so we gave a lot. And they say, "Well, okay, if you want that of the guys, we'll have 500 guys in the air taxi business." You're more than welcome. There just isn't that much business out there. And you'd find out real quick. And I don't see too many of them jumping in. Ever since the legislation the last 2 years, there's one new air taxi operator that's registered as a guide this last year.
And I think the when the task force was looking at it and the legislature looking at air carriers and the impact by some air carriers on the resource is pretty tremendous in some areas, and that's what we're looking at trying to do is is, you know, base it on wildlife management. And how do we best do that? And air carriers are part of that equation, maybe smaller than some of us think based on different areas that we serve, but certainly they're part of the equation. We're just looking for some way to factor them in. And if we've got them in the wrong place or in the wrong way, then, you know, we'll consider some changes there.
If we really want to manage the game, go with the permit system all the way on the animals. You're only going to take 150 animals out of that unit. But boy, I feel sorry for you, the response you're going to get trying to do that.
Probably why we need to do that.
Then, John, I'm not familiar with these details, and probably it's listed in here somewhere, but what, as an air carrier, you're mandated to put some kind of a decal that denotes this, that you're transporting on
the transporter has to have a foot-by-foot, and it's the ugliest thing you've ever seen, and it was designed to be ugly so they could recognize the damn thing.
I see.
And they want it on the side of your aircraft, but only one side of the aircraft, so you better be on the right side. And, you know, if we all have it on the left side, you want to make sure you get a left-hand view of us when we leave.
I see. Okay. Any other comments from you, John, or questions from committee members? Then I agree there, you know, like I talked about earlier, there are no easy resource issues. This is one that comes before us along with other issues, and we will develop this through the committee process as it goes. The bill will be held in committee. We will be having some further hearings on it and see what amendments we put on it, and we will be lobbied from different sides, as you well know, and we'll see. Hopefully we can move forward with the best interest of the state and the public. Thank you.
Thank you.
Then the Resource Committee is adjourned at 5:22.